Hi again, this is Jeff Sachs with another. We'll do another little mini shiur so we can make some progress during these weeks that we're not meeting regularly on Web Yeshiva. We are towards the bottom of Daf Kofchet Omid Aleph 28a in Masechet Ta'anit. The Mishnah had discussed the topic of the Korban Eitzim, different dates that were set aside for certain families according to their tradition to bring. A gift of wood, which is, of course, you know, very essential to the operation of the Beit HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, the Gemara brings the words of the Mishnah, Be'esrim bo, on the 20th of Av, of the month of Av, B'nei Pachat Moav ben Yehuda, that was the family, the descendants of Patach Moav was his name, Patach Moav ben Yehuda, they brought the donation of wood. Tana, B'nei Pachat Moav ben Yehuda, Hein Hein B'nei David ben Yehuda. This family, Pachat Moav, they were actually descendants of David HaMelech, who was, of course, himself a descendant of the tribe of Judah. Divrei Rebbe Meir, this is the position of Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Yossi Omer, Hein Hein B'nei Yoav ben Sruya. No, they are descended through a different Judaic line, through the line of Yoav ben Tsruya, and presumably the name Moav, Pachat Moav, Moav being, an unusual name for Jews. Moav, I assume that Rabbi Yossi is saying that that must be a nickname for Mi Yoav. Ben Tsruya. The Mishnah then further had said, Be'esrim be'elul b'nei Adin ben Yehuda, the family of Adin, the son of Yehuda, of this Judaic line. I mentioned, we discussed last time why so many of these distinguished families, of course, are from Yehuda. They're the ones that brought the Korban Eitzim. So Tanu Rabbanan. The Brisa says, B'nei Adin ben Yehuda, Hein Hein, B'nei David ben Yehuda. Again, trying to identify this, let's say, otherwise not so well-known family as being, in fact, of the Davidic line. Divrei Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yossi Omer, Hein Hein, B'nei Yoav ben Tsruya. The same character we had seen a line earlier. Bechad Betevet, Shavu, B'nei Parush. Shnia. The Mishnah had said that there was one family that got double licks. They got to bring the donation twice during the cycle. On the first of Tevet, this family, descendants of Parush, Shnia, they returned. They came back a second time to bring another donation. So Mani Matni. The Gemara wants to know whose opinion is that in the Mishnah that this particular family. Brought twice a year. So is it lo Rebbe Meir, velo Rebbe Yehuda, velo Rebbe Yossi? It can't be either Rebbe Meir or Rebbe Yehuda or Rebbe Yossi. Why? Because we saw earlier, e Rebbe Meir, if it's Rebbe Meir, litne shavu b'nei David ben Yehuda shnia. Right? And as he held that these are descendants of David, the son of Yehuda, returned for a second time. In other words, Rabbi Meir holds that Patach Moav are in fact descended from the Davidic line, and they would return a second time for the wood. E Rabbi Yehuda, and if it's Rabbi Yehuda, litnei shavu b'nei David ben Yehuda shnia. He would have made, if it was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, since he holds that these people's correct lineages, that they're B'nai David, he would have specified that they're B'nai David. V'i Rebbe Yossi litnei shavu B'nai Yoav ben Sriyashnia. In other words, whose opinion is that this family is the one? Well, it can't be any one of the three opinions that actually identifies them as being from a different family. So the Gemara says, Le'olam Rebbe Yossi utrei t'nai aliba de Rebbe Yossi. So the Gemara says that the Mishnah is really according to Rebbe Yossi, but there are two different Tanaim who they're two different Tanaim whose opinions align with that of Rabbi Yossi. And as one of the Tanaim holds that only the Bnei Patach Moav are from Yoav ben Sruya, and the other Tana holds that the children of Adin ben Yehuda, they are the actual Bnei Yoav. So, Memanafshach, for both of them, neither of these families could have repeated the sacrifice, the Korban Eitzim, twice during the cycle. So the Mishnah is not problematic to either of them. The Mishnah goes on, Be'echad b'tevet lo hayu bo ma'amad. On the 20th of Tevet, there was no ma'amad at all. No, I'm sorry, on the 1st of Tevet, Be'echad b'tevet, there was no ma'amad at all. On Rosh Chodesh Tevet, they didn't have this ceremony where the Yisraelim would gather in their city to do the reading of they would fast and they would read from Ma'aseh Bereishit, etc. They wouldn't do it on Rosh Chodesh Tevet. Omar le Mar Kashisha Bereder of Chizdel or of Ashi. This Mar Kashisha, son of Rav Chizda, says to Rav Ashi, ding, turn the page. We're now on Daf Kaf Chet Omer Beis. Maishna Halel Didoche Didei. Umayishna Musaf Delo Dochi Didei. So why didn't they have a ma'amad on Rosh Chodesh? So Rav Ashi. So the question posed to Rav Ashi is, what's special about Hallel on Rosh Chodesh that it preempts the ma'amad on that day in the morning? And Maishna Musaf. So and what about Musaf? That it wouldn't preempt the ma'amad in the morning, but does preempt the ma'amad later in the afternoon, or preempts the ma'amad on days when they have ni'ila. In other words, since Musaf and Hallel are connected to the morning, it should only affect what goes on in the morning. But Hallel, which goes on in the morning, affects what goes on in the morning. But Musaf, which goes on, you know, essentially in the morning, affects what goes on later in the day. So Omar le Ravashi. Ravashi answers, Hashta de lav didei dochi, didei lo kol shekein. So he says, since the Musaf does preempt the Ma'amad later in the afternoon, and since what goes on later in the afternoon is not really connected to Musaf earlier in the day. So Kol Shekein, how much more so that the Musaf should preempt the Ma'amad taking place in the morning. In other words, the idea being that the Ma'amad is something that's kind of grave and serious, and it involves fasting and special prayers, and you don't want to that kind of the same way that we don't have we skip tachanun on happy days, so they would skip the ma'amad when there were certain festive things like Hallel and Musaf. Omar le Ika Rabbi Yossi de Kai Kavatcha. Tanya Rabbi Yossi Omer Kol Yom Sheyesh Bo Musaf Yesh Bo Ma'amad. Ma'amad Demai. What Ma'amad? What special watch would they have in the morning? Ilema Ma'amad Shacharit Ha Tanakama Nami Hochika Omar. Ela ma'amad de musaf didei nami lo dochi. So Rabbi Yossi has to be saying that the ma'amad that's connected to the musaf, that it's not prevented. That musaf in and of itself does not prevent the ma'amad. Ela de mincha, when there's musaf, that Rabbi Yossi must be saying pushes off the ma'amad at the afternoon, at the mincha davening. Korban eitzim dochi. But the Korban Eitzim, should also be doche what happens at mincha. So if the korban etzim should prevent, bringing the korban etzim must have been on those days something very special. It must have been something very chagigi. So if a day when you have the korban etzim preempts the ma'amad, so shouldn't it also push off the ma'amad that would take place on those days that they have ni'ilah, shma mina, didei dochei? So we learn from this that the musaf does preempt the ma'amad on a day when there is musaf, at musaf, delav didei lo dochei, but it only prevents that what's happening at the time of the own davening. The Gemara goes on, v'leitne name, the Mishnah should also have said, be'echad b'nisan, lo hayabo ma'amad, mipnei sheish bo halel v'korban musaf v'korban etzim. So the Mishnah should have specified that on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, there's no ma'amad, because on that day, what happens on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? You have halel, because it's Rosh Chodesh, and you have musaf, because it's Rosh Chodesh, and it was also one of the days that they would bring the korban etzim. So that should be a day when the ma'amad was canceled. So Omar Rava, Zoto Merit, Halela de Beresh Yarcha Lav Diraisa. So Rava wants to infer that this shows that Halel on Rosh Chodesh is not Min HaTorah. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzedek, Shmona Aser Yom B'Shana Yochid Gomer Bahen Et HaHalel. There are 18 days when you say Gomer Et HaHalel, when you say the full Halel. Ve'elu Hein, and these are those days. What are the 18 days of full Halel? Shmonet Yemei Achag, 8 days of Sukkot, Shmonet Yemei Chanukah, 8 days of Chanukah, V'yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, the first day of Passover, V'yom Tov Shel Atzeret, and on Shavuot. There are 21 days in Chutz Laaretz when you say the full Hallel, because you have to add on the Yom Tov Sheni the extra day of Sukkot, which we call Simchas Torah, and 2 first days of Pesach, and also 2 days of Shavuos. Rav ikla lebavel. Rav one day went to Bavel. Chazenhu deka karu halela beresh yarche. He sees that they're saying halel on Rosh Chodesh, and this was unfamiliar to him. You may not be aware, but halel on Rosh Chodesh was not always the universal minhag that it is today. Savar laafsukinu. So he wanted to stop them from saying halel. He thought they were making a mistake. Since he saw that they were skipping, that they were saying what we call half halel, Amar Shma Mina. I'll learn from this. I understand from this. Minhag avotehem biyadehem. No. They're only reciting halel as a minhag, which is why they're only reciting the half halel. Tana yochid lo yatchil, an individual. The Brisa says an individual should not begin to recite Hallel, presumably on Rosh Chodesh. V'im hitchil gomer. And if he began to recite Hallel, if he started saying the bracha, he should complete the Hallel. That, of course, is not our practice. Our practice is that we recite Hallel, half Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, and we recite the most widespread custom is we recite a bracha on the Hallel, but that is not a universal custom. There are those who do not recite Hallel with a bracha on Rosh Chodesh. So what does this mean? Yachid lo yatchil. So many thought that there were different customs. There were different places. It was not universal. In some communities, they recited Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. In other places, they didn't. So some interpret Some interpret this line in the Braita to mean communities that have a long-standing custom to recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh could continue to do so, but not to spread the custom. Others think that it means that it applies when it says Yachid, an individual, that an individual should never recite Hallel on, if you're not davening with a minion, you should never recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. And if by accident, out of habit, you started to recite the bracha, so then you can continue. Having recited the bracha, then you should continue reciting the Hallel. Different opinions, of course, the opinions, I guess, that are much more became prominent because it coincides with the world that we recognize, said that no, whether you're davening with a minion or you're davening on your own, you should recite half Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. And the Rif reads this Braita that says that an individual shouldn't start it, but if you start it, you should finish it, to mean that a Yochid, somebody davening without a minion, should recite Hallel, but without a bracha. And if by accident you did recite the bracha, so then you should continue saying the Hallel. The Tosfot here says something else altogether. The Tosfot has a different reading of it. The Yochid here is not someone who's reciting Hallel without a minion per se, but it's someone who's reciting a private Hallel. This is something that's a little less familiar to us, but of course you may be familiar with the idea that there were all types of ways that people commemorated salvation, individual private salvation. Let's say, God forbid, you were, I don't know, attacked. You were in a pigua or a pogrom or something, and you privately were saved. You would celebrate the anniversary of that date. You know, like unfortunately, we know people like this, people that were, God forbid, in a pigua, even one of our own members of this shiur, who was thankfully delivered from injury, but who was injured in a shooting many years ago, every year makes a kiddush. Sometimes we get invited. Sometimes we get even invited to speak at the kiddush, but makes a kiddush to celebrate the miracle that he was saved from another inch, and it could have been something else altogether, God forbid. So that's a kind of private celebration of deliverance. And there was a custom, not so well known today, to actually recite Hallel on those private days of deliverance. So the Tosfos here quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who says that that when a person recites a private Hallel, so it should be recited. It should be recited, but without a bracha. And if he nevertheless did say a bracha, he should complete the Hallel. There's an interesting question that arises from this discussion about Hallel and the force of Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. When Rav goes to Bavel and he sees them saying Hallel and Rosh Chodesh, he understands from the fact that they only say half Hallel that they're not saying Hallel with a capital H. They're doing it as a minhag avoseim biyadeh, and they're doing it as a custom. There was a custom in certain places to say Rosh Chodesh, which again, of course, has become the universal custom. But the question becomes, how do we recite brachot, Asher kedeshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu, on minhagim? It's also a question how we recite Asher kedeshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu on mitzvot derabanan. That's easier to get around because we have this general idea of lo sasur. You shouldn't turn aside from the words of the chachamim in anything that they that they tell you to do, and that somehow the instructions of the Chachamim are themselves backed by the Torah's force. So when the Chachamim tell you, light the Hanukkah candles, which is certainly not a mitzvah min haTorah, there's a Torah aspect to it because we're fulfilling a rabbinic mitzvah, which has with it the imprimatur of the Torah, of God himself, who tells us, listen to the Chachamim. But how do we recite brachot on minhagim? That's if Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is just a minhag, how do you recite a bracha on it? And there are other examples of minhagim where we recite brachot of Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvotav. For example, the whole idea of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliot is in fact a minhag avoteim biyadeim, says the Gemara, which is why so many people, you know, apparently have trouble with the idea of the sacrifice, I guess, that's made for Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliot, keeping a second day of Yom Tov in Chutz Laaretz, because it has a much less severe force of obligation if it's just a custom. But on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliot, we say all the mitzvot. We say Kiddush on the second night of Shavuos, on the second night of Sukkot, second night of Pesach, on Leil HaSeder. You do all those mitzvot again on the second night. You're doing it as a minhag to eat a kazayit of matzah. You say Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvotav, Al Achilat Matzah, Al Achilat Maror, etc. How do you say those brachot over minhagim, which are not even derabanan in force? So, and then of course there are certain minhagim that we don't recite, brachot over. Of course, we have to differentiate between what I'll call minhagim with a capital M. Like, let's say, for example, lighting candles on Yom Kippur night. Hadlakat Neirot Yom Kippurim is a minhag. In other words, all of the other hadlakot Neirot on Yom Tov and Shabbat are mitzvah derabanan. And part of that is to add Oneg Shabbat. Chazal understood that it's not so nice to come home Friday night and to eat your meal in the dark, and therefore they instituted that you must light, and since of course you can't turn the lights on Friday night, once Shabbat has started, so they instituted this obligation that you have to light candles mibba'od yom from Friday right before the Shkia, so that the dining room will be lit and you can eat your meal with light, and that's much more pleasant atmosphere. On Yom Kippur, there's no need for that, because on Yom Kippur you don't have a meal at night when you come home from shul. So lighting candles on Yom Kippur is only a minhag, and yet we say Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvotav Vitzivanu, and all the other examples that I gave. Those are minhags with capital M, but they're minhagim. Well, I'll go with a lowercase M. There's a minhag to eat sufganiyot on Chanukah. There's a minhag to eat Ozne Haman on Purim. There's a minhag to eat chalavi on, to eat cheesecake on, and all these things of eating, by the way. These are folk customs that we have. To spin the dreidel on Hanukkah, these are minhagim, right? But there's not a minhag with a capital M, and therefore it's proper to distinguish between the two. It might have been proper that we had two distinct words for minhagim, meaning minhagim with a capital M, and folk customs. So how do we recite Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvotav Vitzivanu on the minagim with a capital M? So in Masechet Sukkah, Rabbeinu Tam raises this question. The Gemara describes that Rabbi Elazar took an arava on Hoshana Rabbah and waves it around. But he doesn't recite a bracha on that. You know, we take the aravot, and we even have this nice little paragraph that we say at the end, either before or after you whack the arava. I'm not talking about the lulav and etrog, which is a mitzvah min haTorah on the first day, and a mitzvah derabanan for us on the subsequent days, but the whacking, the beating, the waving of the arava on Hoshana Rabbah is what's called a minhag nevi'im, a custom instituted by the prophets of old, and there's that Yehi Ratzon that we say, Asher Bacharbanu Bin Vi'im Tovim Uvim Min Hageihem, that God chose us these distinguished prophets, and they instituted customs. But there's no bracha on that rather ancient custom of waving around and beating the Arava on Hoshana Rabbah. So how come that's a minhag, an ancient minhag that doesn't have a universal minhag? Everybody whacks the Arava. So Rabbeinu Tam says, well, there are different types of minhagim. Even the minhagim with capital M, there are different types of minhagim. Certain ones, like the Arava and Hoshana Rabbah, don't get a bracha, and other minhagim, like Hanukkah, like Purim, like all of those other things, not Hanukkah and Purim, like Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, like Hadlakat Neirot on Yom Kippur, like Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galiot, those are minhagim where we do recite a bracha. And Rabbeinu Tam says you have to differentiate based upon the nature of what the act is. Shaking around the Arava is a kind of a low-level activity. But reciting Hallel, or lighting candles, or the various other examples we gave, those are much more significant. In the case of Hallel, he says, because Hallel is like reciting psukim from the Torah. It's almost like it resembles somehow the Kriyat HaTorah, the reciting of a set text. And therefore, that's a more substantive act, and therefore it requires, it carries along with it a bracha. So the Brisker Rav, the son of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, meaning Reb Yitzchok Zev Halevi Soloveitchik, the Brisker Rav who came to live in Yerushalayim, the uncle of Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, he explains his difference in the following way. He points out that this is in the Brisker Rav's Chidushim to Masechet Sukkah. He points out that the Rambam says that this idea of lo tasur, of not deviating from whatever the chachamim tell us, includes the need to listen to the mitzvot d'rabbanan, and also the minhagim that the rabbis of old, the neviim and the chachamim, set up for us. The Rambam says this in his important introduction to the Mishnah Torah. So if that's the case, turn the question back on itself. Why, according to the Rambam, did Rabbi Elazar not say a bracha? Why do we not say a bracha on the Arava on Hoshana Rabbah? So the Brisker Rav says that the bracha on doing a minhag, the bracha on any act, isn't connected to whether or not it's a minhag or a mitzvah d'rabbanan or a mitzvah d'oraita per se. But when the chachamim create a minhag or an act to be observed, but don't make it a mitzvah d'rabbanan per se, and of course, if it's not in and of itself a mitzvah min ha-Torah, they wanted it to have its own identity, independent of being a mitzvah d'rabbanan. In other words, Chazal knew how to make a mitzvah d'rabbanan. They make Hanukkah candles, right? It's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. And everyone agrees you say a bracha, asher kedushanu b'mitzvotav. But when the Chachamim want to make something that has lower force, like a minhag, like waving the Arava on Hoshana Rabbah, They knew what they were doing. They didn't want it to have the status of even a mitzvah d'rabbanan. So, why do we recite brachot on certain minhagim? But think about the minhagim that we do recite brachot on. They are almost copycat mitzvot in the force of minhagim. Lighting candles on Yom Kippur, well, that's identical to lighting candles on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah night, on Yom Kippur night, on Pesach night, on Friday nights. We just extend the model of an existing mitzvah derabanan to something which is now a minhag. Part of doing that act of lighting Friday night Shabbos candles, of lighting Yom Tov night Shabbos candles, is to recite a bracha. So when we extend it, but merely with the force of minhag, part of doing that is to recite a bracha. To keep Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galiot, what do? Last night, on the first night of Pesach, you had a Seder and you said all the brachot, Asher Kedeshanu B'Mitzvotav, both on the mitzvot min HaTorah, but also on the mitzvot midirabanan, like Moror is a mitzvah derabanan. So on the second night, what are you doing? You're just cutting and pasting. You're eating Moror again, you're eating matzah again, this time with the force of a minhag, but the nature of that minhag is to do it the way you did it the night before when it was a mitzvah min HaTorah, or a mitzvah derabanan. And therefore you recite a bracha. Reading the Megillot on Shalosh Regalim. Reading the Megillot, Kohelet and Shir Shirim and Ruth, is a minhag. So how do we say a bracha? Because it's like an extension of reading the Torah. That's why Rabbeinu Tam says in Sukkah that saying Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is like reading the Torah, even though we don't take out a scroll, but it's a kind of fixed recitation of Kitvei HaKodesh. And therefore, since conceptually it's similar enough to a Torah act or a mitzvah derabanan, so then the Chachamim can say it has structurally enough, even though it's not a mitzvah, not even a mitzvah derabanan, but nevertheless, in performing this minhag, we recite a bracha when it has the form and feeling of something which is at least reminiscent of a mitzvah act. However, the Rambam in Hilchot Chanukah paskins that you don't say a bracha for Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. And the reason is, he says, this is the Rambam in Hilchot Chanukah, Perek Gimel, Halacha Zayin, 3.7. You don't recite a bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, because it's a minhag, and because we don't say brachot on minhagim. But when he says you say a bracha, when the Rambam paskins, you do say a bracha on candle lighting on Yom Tov Sheni, he admits that you do say it on certain minhagim, because that's a minhag that's created as a copycat of an actual mitzvah. And I guess what the machloket between Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam here is, if the Brisker Rav is correct, the nafkamina is, how do we look at Hallel? Right? Is Hallel something more like waving the Arava, a kind of new custom that exists on its own, in which case it doesn't get a bracha, or is it like kind of conceptually like reciting biblical text? Well, that's like reading the Torah or reciting the Torah, and therefore it does get a bracha, which would be what Rabbeinu Tam would say. Then the Brisker Rav ends by quoting his father, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, who says, wait a second, even according to Rabbeinu Tam, that that we recite a bracha on Hallel because Hallel is conceptually close enough to Torah reading, and therefore you can recite a bracha on it. When we read the Torah, do we say Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvotav? No. We say Asher Bachar Banu mikol ha'amim v'natad lanu et Torato, etc., etc. But there is no, even on Kriyat HaTorah, when you get an aliyah, there's no bracha. In the morning, there's a bracha Birkat HaTorah. That's something else. But for Kriyat HaTorah itself, there is no bracha of Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu. Because, according to Reb Chaim, Kriyat HaTorah itself is not specifically a mitzvah. It's a kind of obligation that's performed in order to show our communal and I guess individual love of Torah. That's why Chazal didn't define Kriyat HaTorah as a ma'aseh mitzvah that gets the bracha of Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvotav. And therefore, I guess Reb Chaim says, that's why the Rambam says, Hallel, no matter whether you think it's similar or dissimilar, whether it's close enough or not close enough whether Hallel is close enough or not close enough to Kriyat HaTorah to warrant cutting and pasting a bracha, in all cases, it shouldn't get a bracha. And that's how he explains why the Rambam holds that there's no bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh when it is clearly just a minhag. Okay, that was a bit of a digression. Not a digression. It was a bit of something on the outside about this idea of reciting brachot on minhagim. And we have reached the middle of Daf Kafchet, Amud Beis, and we will continue from there.